Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz joining us every Wednesday at 4. I always forget what time it actually is when I'm about to say that or what day it is, but it's Wednesday at 4. We are joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can get Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store. Baldy, how you feeling, brother?
I feel fantastic. It's a new year, you know. I mean, new beginnings. So Ike, the other night at Jason Kelce's debut show, man, everything's good right now.
I saw you guys hanging out, VIPs over there.
Yeah, well, Baldy's a VIP. Yeah, I was hanging with him, hanging with Baldy.
VIP by association.
Yes.
It's sometimes good to be the plus one.
I'm good with it. Listen, I'll be Baldy's wingman anytime he needs me to be his wingman.
I to myself, we were being entertained by Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
Jeff Stoutland made a little cameo over there. So we had plenty of entertainment backstage.
So, Baldy, here we are. The playoffs are here. Feels like the longest NFL regular season I can remember. It definitely felt like a long one. Going into these playoffs in the NFC, if I were to ask you like your power rankings of teams in the NFC playoffs, where would the Eagles slide in there?
They would be number one, and everybody else would be second. Second, it really doesn't matter. I think they're better than every other team in the NFC. If Jalen doesn't get hurt against Washington, they'll probably win 12 in a row. They've gone through everybody that they got to beat. Detroit defensively is in no position to compete with the Eagles and with the firepower that they have right now. Offensively, they're a very good football team. They can score points. There'll be a challenge, but I don't think anybody can really compete with the Eagles in the NFC right now.
You mentioned Detroit's defense. They have had a lot of injuries. That win over Minnesota, would you say that holding the Minnesota, I think Minnesota scored 9 points, whatever it was that more about Darnold missing passes? Because to my eyes, it looked like they were all over Darnold the entire game. So how were they so effective? Was that more about Minnesota or was it more about Detroit?
I think it was more about Minnesota. Minnesota's defense leads the league in takeaways. They got two interceptions off Jared Goff. They got great field position for Sam Darnold, Minnesota. Kevin O'Connell, he's a great play caller and designer. He got the predicted coverages because Detroit has to blitz. They almost are always a man coverage. And there's just no way that Amik Robertson should be able to cover Justin Jefferson. Or that if they run a little stack route in the end zone and Jordan Addison is breaking free, like, for whatever reason, Sam didn't make those throws, and he missed them, and they should have been touchdowns. And for most of the year, they were touchdowns, but it's kind of – it just doesn't really add up the year that Sam had for him not to make a lot of those throws. And so I feel like it was more about Minnesota than anything that Detroit did.
Yeah. When you look at this matchup coming up, Baldy, I'm going to look in on the Packers, right? We focus on the Eagles all the time. But with this Packers team, I'm wondering, eight of their five of their six losses came against pretty damn good teams, Minnesota, Detroit, and the Eagles. A couple of those games were close. I'm wondering, are we looking at a team that's a better than 11-win team, or are we looking at a team that's just sort of getting hot coming down the stretch here late? How do you see the Green Bay Packers?
They're a good team.
Yeah.
Nobody should overlook them.
Yeah.
I thought physically down in Brazil, I was there for that game. I thought the Eagles physically were a lot better. We saw the beginning of what Saquon could do that day.
Mm-hmm.
He had three touchdowns. He beat a linebacker in coverage and Jalen threw a dime to him in the end zone. But I thought they were physically better up front. I don't think that – I respect Rashawn Gary and Kenny Clark and the guys that they have there, but they're really not much of a match for what the Eagles' offensive line is and what they're capable of doing. I think that's one matchup where they really will struggle. And then I'm anxious to see a defensive line that just got better and better from the Eagles against a good offensive line in Green Bay. They run the ball well. Josh Jacobs, a good back. He had a good season. But I think they're physically better than what Green Bay are. And so I think that's where this game is really going to be won and lost for the Eagles. I just think they're a lot better in the trenches than what Green Bay is right now.
The formula for the Eagles this year sounds like you just stick to what has gotten us here, which is, you know, you lean on that offensive line, that running game, and the defense.
Well, I would, Ike, but, it remains to be seen just how sharp Jalen's going to be right now. I mean, you know, he hasn't played in, it'll be almost 3 weeks now.
Yeah.
And so you just don't know if he's lost timing. You just don't know. None of us really know. Presumably he'll get a good week of practice in. He'll be ready to go Sunday afternoon. But you just don't know. You know, that timing can be very finicky week to week. And if you haven't been out there and you haven't been throwing or practicing, like, that might be a good idea to get Saquon tanked up here and get the run game going before we kind of figure out if Jalen's going to be, you know, hitting moving targets where he's got to put it.
Yeah. From an Eagles offense to Packers defense perspective, Packers don't blitz a lot. They play a good bit of zone. Does that work in the Eagles' favor, or does it hurt them?
Well, I mean, Jeff Heffley came in, and he put a four-man defensive front in. They play a lot of press coverage. They play a lot of man coverage. They're a safety-driven team. Xavier McKinney, you know, was second in the league in interceptions, but all the rookies – back there, all play Evan Williams. All the rookie safeties played well. They want to really force everything to the middle of the field, and then they want to rob the middle of the field. When McKinney intercepted the seam route back in San Paulo, I mean, I thought Jalen made a good throw, but McKinney read it all the way. They were in a Tampa 2 coverage, and he read it, and he picked Jalen off. Like, that's where Green Bay wants the ball to go. They want the ball to go in the middle of the field, and then the ball hawks want to, you know, be in a position to take it away. So I think they have a chance of, you know, beating these corners. I mean, Jair Alexander isn't out there, but they beat him in the first game. I think they're susceptible out there to Eagle receivers. It was good to see last week Dallas Goedert back out there. Like, I think he could be a force in this game. He looked really good to me. So they should be full speed ahead here. And as much as Green Bay has improved defensively, they wanted to take the ball away a lot more this year. They did that. They accomplished that. I still think they're lacking, I don't know, the horses you need up front to slow down the Eagles.
From a Packers offense standpoint, they lost Christian Watson last week, who is pretty much the wide receiver, the deep threat that they have. How much does that affect the Packers on offense?
You know, they really don't have a number one wide receiver. I mean, Watson does get deep. I thought Quinion Mitchell did a good job against them in a first game on two deep shots. They don't really have a number one. Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed, Dontavius Wicks, the tight ends, Tucker Kraft, they're good players. And so I think it's kind of where, you know, it's a domino effect. Like, you're just not as strong because Christian's not there. But I don't think losing Christian is going to really affect their pass game. I mean, Jordan Love is a very accurate thrower. He's got a live arm. These receivers, they do a lot of different things. But, you know, Jaden Reed can get deep. Wicks can get deep. They use a lot of play action off Josh Jacobs, off the run game. And so, you know, your eyes got to be in the right place, no matter who's going down the field against you.
Jordan Love's had a weird season. I think everyone expected, with the way he played down the stretch last year, this year to be the year that he explodes as one of, like, the top guys. It just seems like he's been inconsistent. Is that because of the injury he suffered earlier, or what do you attribute that to?
Well, he did get hurt, you know, in the end of that first season.
That Eagles game, yeah.
The next
yep.
2 weeks.
Yep.
Malik Willis came in. That was a factor for sure. And then he threw interceptions when he came back in 8 straight games. At least one in 8 straight games. And then he played San Francisco at home, and he didn't turn the ball over, and then he went for a stretch without turning it over. So he actually started taking care of the football really well towards the end of the season. So I think, you know, he still stayed aggressive, and yet he was still able to take care of the football. So that was a big improvement from his part as the season kind of wore on. They do a lot of things in the run game. Just the way that they get into the run game, they play a lot of two tight ends. They try to get to the edge. Josh Jacobs is a guy that breaks a lot of tackles. He's a very good back, and I'm sure he wants to make sure Green Bay knows that, you know, it was a good investment as a free agent coming from the Raiders. And, look, he hasn't been in the playoffs in 3 years. I think he's going to relish the moment.
Yeah, I think we get a sense you like the Eagles in this game, Baldy. Couple other NFC wild card games this weekend. Good matchups, too, with the Vikings and the Rams and Washington going down there to Tampa. You think it goes chalk, or do you think any of those, the higher seeds have a chance to knock off some of the lower seeds?
Well, both games are rematches. The Rams and the Minnesota Vikings played back in week
yep.
8. The Rams won that day. They played without Pukin, but DeMarcus Robinson beat them pretty good that day. I think Minnesota, defensively, though, is going to give this offense a lot of problems. So they still take the ball away. They still make splash plays. Their pass rushers are really good. I expect it to be a lot closer than 30-20. But, you know, I think it's a 3-point game right now. But I can see Minnesota going in there and
yeah.
winning that game. And, you know, the game on Sunday afternoon, I think it's going to be a good game between Washington and Tampa. You know, Baker Mayfield did something only 9 other quarterbacks in the history of the game have done this year, throw for 4,500 yards and 41 touchdowns. Like, only 9 other guys have done it. He had a phenomenal season. I was around Todd Bowles, Ike, back in training camp. I thought they were going to be a good football team. They're really beat up in the secondary right now. They're minus a couple of corners, a safety. They're really beat up. I'm curious if Jaden Daniels could take advantage of that. They blitzed them almost every down the first week of the season. He did a lot of good things against the blitz. He didn't just fold his tent. Like, he got out of harm's way sometimes. He made some good throws against it. But Todd Bowles never stopped coming after him. I don't know if that's the best formula right now with a secondary that's pretty weakened. But that's something to watch in that game.
Baldy, I got to tell you, we're confident in the Eagles. I think we would all love to see Tampa eliminated. I don't think we want to see Tampa again.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
You know,
like, I think they can be a problem. You know, they've been bounced by them in the playoffs. They got whipped by them week 4. I know Todd Bowles, what he thinks about Jalen Hurts and some of his weaknesses. He has shared those with me at times. So, I mean, I think he thinks that they would be confident in seeing the Eagles.
Now, without asking you what Todd Bowles said, if I'm to read what they do, I mean, they bring the house against Jalen pretty consistently.
Well,
so
they didn't have a good answer. I mean, honestly, they didn't have a good answer against the blitz last year at all. I mean, it wasn't just Tampa. A lot of, you know, against a lot of teams, there wasn't check. There wasn't an answer for Jalen to go to outside of just scrambling and getting out of the way. It was just a bizarre offense. I didn't think they were very good against the blitz week 4. And I think they've improved a lot since then. And so I think there's a lot more at Jalen's disposal if Todd Bowles would decide to go in that route.
All right, Baldy. Well, we appreciate you hoping. And you're thinking Eagles win on Sunday, right? I mean, you
Absolutely.
Intimated that.
No, I think the Eagles take care of business. Like, I think they're a lot better than Green Bay.
All right. Baldy, we appreciate you as always, man.
Appreciate it,
Thanks,
brother.
Guys.
Yep. There is Brian Baldinger, our Odyssey NFL insider, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider Call is brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. And then we'll get back to one thing that Baldy said. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. It's engagement season. Visit the only jeweler with over 2,500 Google 5-star reviews, Mark's Jewelers, online at marks-jewelers.com. The question, does Jalen Hurts have to prove something in these playoffs like Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson do? 61.6% say yes, and that leaves 38.4% to say no. There's always something in a Baldy call that makes Ike and I like open our eyes and look at each other. And when he said Todd Bowles, I know what Todd Bowles thinks of Jalen Hurts' weaknesses, and he shared them with me. Now, I don't even think we need Todd Bowles to tell anyone. His actions pretty much tell you what.
Right.
And it's not, you know, there's a difference, I think, between how Todd Bowles blitzes, where he's bringing more than one extra guy. He's bringing two extra guys. He's not giving Jalen any time to do anything. And it's been successful. I mean, it was successful this year. It was successful last year.
Yeah.
So I don't want any part of that matchup, to be honest with you. I mean, looking at the NFC, I'd probably rather see in the next round in Philly, I mean, of the available teams that could come here, I think I'd probably rather see Minnesota than Tampa.
Yeah, I'd go Rams.
You'd rather see Rams?
Yeah.
Okay, that would be the team. Yeah.
And they're a 3 seed, I believe.
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't think.
Are they the 3 seed or the 4 seed?
Who, the Rams?
Rams fell down to the 4.
Yeah.
Oh, they fell down to the 4.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, they didn't play their starter Sunday.
Right. So if Tampa wins, we have to play Tampa.
Tampa. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that Tampa, outside of Detroit, Tampa is the team that I want to play the least.
I agree.
In the playoffs.
I was rooting hard for the Falcons to win the South, and they choked it.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Well, they almost sort of gave up.
Falcons legend in there. I forgot.
Oh, yeah. There it is.
Yeah. Falcons legend. There that's me.
Still going to get the alumni
right
call.
Put me with Dion and Warren Dunn and Mike Vick.
Andre Rison.
Yeah, Andre Rison. I'm right with those guys.
215-592-9494. Derek and Paoli. You're on WIP. What's up, Derek?
What's going on?
What's up, man?
What's up, Dave?
How you doing? Yo, listen. This is just my take on it. Spike, so I've been a hole for a little while. You said that quarterback stats, like wins and losses, are not a stat, right? And then a few minutes later, you said Josh Allen's 5-5 in the playoffs. So
because what I'm saying here is that the thing that is brought up to me is wins, right? Is he wins? But Jalen's record in the playoffs is 2-3. So I guess what I'm saying is if you want to bring that in, then I'm just going to say that Josh Allen has a better winning percentage in the playoffs than Jalen does, and that's why I want to throw it out, because it's about teams. It's about Jalen's play. Jalen as quarterback, I mean, what is his best playoff win, would you say? Is there a signature Jalen Hurts?
The Eagles only won 2 playoff games winning.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So
if you want to say his best win, it would have to, I would say, I guess the Giants game.
Right. So to me, the losses even mean as much in the playoffs as the wins do. Now his best game is in the Super Bowl, and that's great. He played a great game, but to me, this offense, I think, could operate at the efficiency they operated this year with a lot of quarterbacks that are not Jalen. I just do. I think they are so stacked.
Well, that's what you should your take should be. You don't believe in Jalen Hurts because you said when the season started, you had the Eagles going 10-7, right?
Yes, I did.
They end up being 14-3, right?
Yep. So but like, do you think? But what I'm saying, telling you, Derek, is that the reason that they surprised me is they have the best defense in the NFL. If you had told me at the time, and if you had told me at the time the Eagles were going to have the number one ranked defense in the NFL, which nobody saw coming, zero people, not me, not anybody, then I would have upped my win total. But my win total is not higher because Jalen played great. Like, the win total is not higher because of Jalen's performance this year.
Yeah, but my whole thing is when you say the defense and this and that, like Jalen Hurts plays for the Eagles. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So when Jalen Hurts plays bad, right, you say they lost because Jalen Hurts turned the ball over and da-da-da-da-da. No. And then when they win, right, and they're winning and Hurts is playing okay, but he's not chucking the ball around, doing this and doing that, then it's like, well, anybody could do that. So it's like you try to take Jalen Hurts. Like, for me, it's like you can like whoever you want to like, but I just feel like, when Mad Mike calls up and he just says, Jalen Hurts sucks, da 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 da.
But that's not what I do.
But you're saying it in a different way.
No. Derek, I am putting him in a class by saying this. You should be honored. I'm saying that he needs to do something that Lamar Jackson needs to prove or Josh Allen needs to prove. Those are elite quarterbacks in the NFL. My point is that if he is more than just a guy, then I want to see it in these playoffs. I think he has been in the league long enough. He has a talented enough team. He's got the number one defense behind him. He's got the best running back in the NFL this year. He's got a top 3 wide receiver duo. He's got the best offensive line in football. He's got a Pro Bowl level tight end. He needs to show out in these playoffs. And I think he's like, if I were to look at all of those aspects of the team and you were to ask me what is the weak point, putting away special teams, I think it's him.
Okay, that's my whole point. You don't believe in Jalen Hurts, right? So when you say, like, he needs to prove something. So for me, if I think somebody's not good, right, I expect them not to be good.
No, right? but you're turning this around. Good, I think right? Josh Allen needs to prove something in the playoffs too. And I think he's one of the three best quarterbacks in football. I think Lamar Jackson needs to prove something in the playoffs too. I think Jared Goff needs to prove something too. I think there are quarterbacks who have been in the league long enough and are on talented enough teams that they need to be a ceiling raiser, not just a floor raiser. They need to be a ceiling raiser. And that's in the playoffs. That's what you need to do.
Listen, if Josh Allen gets ousted, right, before he gets to the AFC Championship game, right, when the season starts next year, he will still be a top three quarterback, right or wrong?
Dude, he was rated by other players as the most – Derek, he was rated by other players this year, Josh Allen, as the most overrated player in football. The most overrated player in
football. Before the season.
So you can spin this any way you want, but these other quarterbacks get criticism. Lamar Jackson gets criticism all the time for not performing in the playoffs, constantly. It is the number one thing that he gets criticized for. And
I'm not saying that Hurts is not above the criticism.
You are, though, because you're saying the only reason that I would criticize him, because you're saying the only reason I criticize him is because I don't like him or I don't think he's good. I think he is just a guy. I think he is a mid-pack quarterback. And if he is more than that, then he needs to prove that in these playoffs.
There's nothing wrong with being a mid-level quarterback, though. It's like when you say quarterbacks in the last 10 years. Only people that have won in the last 10 years is Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, and Matthew Stafford. Like, you threw Peyton Manning's name out there. He won one Super Bowl, right?
He won two Super Bowls.
Peyton Manning won two rings?
Correct.
Yeah.
The last one, he was just on the team, I guess.
Okay, but we're not allowed to just say just on the team, because I did that with Jalen. It doesn't count. So he won two Super Bowls. You said one. He won two.
Yeah, he won two.
Okay.
All right. I mean, that's just my take. I just take it as, like, when you, like, you never really say, like, Jalen Hurts played a great game today.
It's sure always, I did. Like, sure I did. After Pittsburgh, I said he played great. What you want to hear, man. Like,
I listen every day, bro. So it's not, you just said.
But you hear what you want to hear.
Don't matter. And then you said Josh Allen's 5-5 in the
playoffs. No, because what gets brought up to me is that Jalen Hurts just wins. So if people are going to say to me, he just wins, I am going to talk about the record in the playoffs because it doesn't fit what you're saying. And that's when that gets thrown out. That's when the wins don't matter anymore. It doesn't matter. Oh, it doesn't matter. He's 2-3 in the playoffs. It doesn't matter that he hasn't beaten any good teams in the playoffs. None of that matters when I question you on it. So I'm asking you, coming into this season, and if I had told you that the Eagles would be number 8 in points scored in the NFL this year, do you think that would be lower than you had expected or what you expected?
It'd probably be what I expected, because I don't put Hurts in that category that you think I put him in. You understand what I'm saying?
So where do you think he is?
Game,
where do you think he is in the NFL?
I would say Jalen Hurts, I would put him closer to the bottom 10, and that's only because I got to put him there because he's had a lot more success than most other quarterbacks as far as, like,
bottom 10, you're saying?
Or top 10.
I would say he's somewhere like 10, 11, somewhere in there. Yeah. I'm not going to put him like and say he's top 5. And
okay,
I'm,
so I said I'll he's 14. So yeah, I said I'm he's never, 14.
That's what I'm saying, though. If you're saying he's 14, then what do you expect from the 14th best quarterback in the league? That's my question.
Because the debate here, and Derek, give us, and then I'll finish up. Derek, give us somebody with a great head of hair. It's Elvis's birthday.
I'm gonna go against the delegation, Ike. Man, I don't know your take, man. I'm gonna stay with the show and say Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, she did have great hair.
Yeah, there you go. That's great hair.
Another, that's a good one, Derek. I'm a Marilyn Monroe's man. You know.
Yeah.
She's a good.
Oh, yeah. I like the mole. You like the mole, man.
Yeah. Come on.
You gotta love the mole. Love a good mole.
I think.
I like the huge mole, though.
No. But like, she's got the little.
I mean, like Jim Jones' girl, Chrissy. Yeah, that mole is too big.
Too much mole.
Yeah, too much mole. Got to shave that thing down a little bit.
I think.
Yes, I know you can't shave down moles, man.
I guess you can get them removed.
You
right?
can have it removed. Yeah. But some people view it as their beauty mark or, yes, their signature look. Yes.
I guess Derek, I don't think Derek is wrong in him saying, well, you just don't think he's that good. That I think that is my point. My point really is, if he is what the people who think of him say he is, then in these playoffs he needs to prove that. If he is not, then at some point the Eagles have to be open to the idea of having a different quarterback.
Well, see, that's where people say you go too far, right?
I think the Eagles would think about that. I think if he is not able to pass efficiently in these playoffs, I'm not saying they will make a change this year, but what I'm saying is like, they know you have to be able to pass the ball. They designed a team and they paid for a team that could pass the ball. They signed an offensive coordinator who has had successful passing offenses. At some point,
well, we know that's what they would prefer.
That's what they would prefer.
Yes.
Now look, the answer might not be
two wide receivers $20+ million a year. Yeah.
And maybe the answer isn't there, but I can tell you they would be open to the idea of it. I think they would be. And if he can't pass effectively in the playoffs, if he doesn't do that, if he's not a ceiling raiser, you have to be open to that. Now, you need the answer. You need the, like they had it with Carson.
Yeah.
They thought they had a good enough answer, and they made the decision. You need the answer first. Like Detroit had when they got Matt Stafford, like Jim Harbaugh made that decision with Colin Kaepernick over Alex Smith. You need the answer there. Like even the Packers were like, we believe in Jordan Love now, you know, and we're ready to move on.
I'm glad you're saying the playoffs and not just this game, because I think it'll be hard for him to show us Sunday. I got to give him a little grace for the
layoff.
As long
as they get through it on Sunday. I'm not going to
crush in the second
him.
Game and sure. Potentially an NFC Championship game, I think, because now you're playing teams with higher powered offenses, and so you know the scoring may need to go up.
The truth is
although you do have the number one defense. So.
The truth is that Sunday, if he doesn't look good on Sunday, and they lose or something, mm-hmm. That's a bigger question of, did the Eagles make the right decision letting him play?
Oh, he's setting up the questions for Monday.
I'm just saying, you have to think about it. The guy hasn't played football in 3 weeks. So,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So coming up next, two amazing things. First of all, Eagles Inside of the Year power rankings are back. And second of all, Freddie Mitchell revealed something on the WIP Morning Show today.
Now, this is Fred X's week.
Yes, it is.
Green Bay.
Fourth and 26.
Fourth and 26.
Freddie revealed something on the WIP Morning Show about John Ritchie and Sean Landetta. Is that who it was?
Mostly about Landetta.
Mostly about Landetta.
God,
that,
yes.
Boy, we need to revisit. We might need to get Landetta on, actually, to confirm or deny. And Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings are coming up next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. The WIP Afternoon Show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Looking forward to our 5 o'clock top 5 of 5 with Buzz. Hopefully he does better than Fran did yesterday.
Mm-hmm. It's a low bar to clear.
Very
man.
Low bar to clear.
We're the gold standard in here. I don't aim for just mediocrity.
Yeah. There you go. You got your bowl of refried beans
Buzz
in there.
He takes a little more pride in doing the top 5 and 5.
Fran doesn't take a lot of pride in anything, really. It doesn't seem like. Jack Fritz on his marathon paternity leave.
Well, I tell you, you're talking about a guy milking something.
Oh, seriously.
My bad.
Do we think he's at home changing diapers?
Hey now, pause.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think of that. There's a lot there. Leave that alone.
Yep.
Leave that right alone. All right. We haven't done Eagles Inside of the Year power rankings in 3 weeks because we haven't been here on a Wednesday.
Yep.
But, and before we get to the power rankings, we did meeting with program director Rod Lake in our meeting before the show. We were talking about when we'd award Eagles Insider of the Year.
Uh-huh.
And we had previously said after the Eagles season ends, whenever that is, we made the executive decision to extend. Now, we don't know when the Eagles season's going to end, but we are no matter when they lose, we are going to extend Eagles Insider of the Year to 1 week after the Super Bowl. Only because if the Eagles were to get bounced early, maybe there are changes, whatever. That is an opportunity for insider action. So we will leave it to then. So here we go. This week's Eagles Insider of the Year Power Rankings.
Eagles Insider of the Year Power Rankings.
Now I have the last rankings here.
Oh, I forgot the last rank.
Yeah, I actually don't even remember why anybody was ranked why they were. So the top five were number five was John Clark. I don't know why. Number four is Tim McManus, done a good job all year. Number three, Jay Glazer, who had the story about BG and Dom going to Jalen Hurts' house.
Yeah.
Elliott Shore Parks at number two, and then BG still at number one for Eagles Insider of the Year, saying that Jay Glazer was not telling the truth, but he only said it on Instagram.
Right.
And I do think...
And for other reasons.
Yes.
BG could have been number one.
Well, he appeared as a chick easier. Yeah. Well, and based on how the Brandon Graham show has gone the last couple of weeks, that Brandon's never going to be on Eagles Insider of the Year again. I don't think he is going to make sure of it.
Yep.
So this week's Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings... We do have another current Eagle on the list replacing Brandon Graham. At number five, Jordan Mailata. Now, Jordan was honored this week as the Eagles media's favorite Eagles player. And I think that deserves something. If he is the best guy giving the answers, then he's the definition of insider. He's there. I don't think he's going to get to number one. I don't think he has that in his sights. But Jordan Mailata at number five. At number four, the Jacksonville Jaguars Twitter account. As the Jaguars Twitter account revealed that Kellen Moore is a candidate for their head coaching position. This is the first time we've ever had a team as Eagles Insider of the Year, but the Jaguars revealed it, so they get credit.
They're real to all of the candidates were. I've never seen a team do that in any sport.
No. Now, the Jets have been doing a thing when they interview somebody, they say publicly on their Twitter account that they interviewed it. But I have not seen a team just say who all of the candidates
are. Everyone who we asked for.
Yeah. It's great. Well, at least they get the retweets out of it rather than somebody else, right?
Yeah, I thought that was weird. But that's Jacksonville.
Yes.
I mean...
Well, they're weird.
Hey. I mean, the other candidates... If I'm like... Well, I got to wait through this whole list to do interviews.
Right. Right.
Well, ironically, Doug was their first interview the last time, and they still interviewed 20 other people.
And then hired
Doug. And went back to Doug.
We need to get Doug on. I'd love to get Doug on. Number three is a tie between Jeremy Fowler and Mike Garofalo. They both had the report that the Saints asked for permission to interview Kellen Moore. So, and just a little note. To our local Eagles media.
Yes.
Could one of you get one of these? Like, Kellen Moore's in Philadelphia. He works for the Eagles. I get criticized for what I do on the air all the time. So I'm going to send out the call here. One of you guys should have this. Right? Am I crazy?
Nah, I mean, listen.
Buzz looks uncomfortable back there.
No, I'm with you.
Yeah, I just...
I agree with you.
It's just one of you, like, you guys. All right.
It does seem like the national guys seem to break these stories.
Come on. Yeah. Like, everybody's national now. Everybody's Twitter account is national, right?
Yep.
Number two for consistency all year long is one Tim McManus. And his first time, maybe ever, it's certainly in months... Currently number one, Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings, Elliott Shore Parks.
I hadn't heard his name. I thought he might be out of the top five.
Elliott has done a good job. Like, here's the thing with Elliott. He hasn't been able to break stories recently, but what he has done is be the first one to ask important questions, get important answers. At press conferences, we can always count on him to ask the question that everyone needs to know the answer to.
Yeah.
Not just us. He's done a great job. Now, we have potentially, or we definitely have, five more weeks of so he could be unseated. But right now, Elliott Shore Parks, number one on Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings. We're all very proud of Elliott. We hold him to a high standard.
Yeah.
And as of now, he is number one.
Yeah, got to give him a lot of credit for being down there in the trenches. You know, we know he's a favorite of Coach Sirianni's.
Coach Sirianni loves him. Could give him that Kellen Moore info every once in a while if he wants.
He doesn't love him that much.
Right.
But yes, I get your point. But also, I got to give E credit for, you know, when stuff was going on with players or what have you, Elliott's right there asking the questions.
And
he's asking the tough questions. He got the AJ answer.
Yes.
Right? Like, so Elliott's down there asking the tough questions.
It can be intimidating to ask those tough questions.
Yeah.
Also, I think sometimes the other media judge Elliott or somebody who asked the question that they perceive as just sort of like dumb stuff that only the public cares about.
Mm-hmm.
Newsflash.
Your job is to serve the public. So if the public wants the answer to something, that makes it important for you to ask. And Elliot never holds himself above the fray in that way.
Yeah.
He is right in the center of the fray.
He's pretty curious a lot, but
he is.
Why don't we get that out of
him? Well, he's just curious.
Yes. Just curious. I don't know if you've heard. So Elliot hosts Brandon Graham Show with me now. Mm-hmm. Every time Elliot says, "I'm just curious," I look him dead
look
in his
right
eye.
At him, yeah.
And now Brandon laughs at him because he told BG that he does it too.
Right.
So we both laugh at him now.
Just curious.
Yeah, I'm just curious.
I'm just curious.
Before we'll take one call, and then we're going to give you this Freddie Mitchell audio
about
something. There's private parts involved. Anyway, that is coming up after CJ. CJ in Texas, you're on WIP. What's up, CJ?
Yo.
What up?
What up, CJ?
45 and live. How you guys doing today? How you doing this year?
Doing good, bro. It's been a minute. When the last time you called us?
Hey, it's been a minute.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I've been running around my kid. This is 40 years over, so I've been running around my kid with sports. So, hey, they did good in the playoffs, so, hey, couldn't get on all the time.
I feel you on that. I feel you.
CJ, are you from here and you moved to Texas? What's your...
Nah, I'm from Arkansas, man. I'm from Arkansas, and how I became an Eagles fan is... Everybody in Arkansas tend to ride with the Cowboys. My dad was not a big football fan, and the first game I ever watched was a Cowboys-Eagles game. And I saw, as a little kid, I looked on the screen, and the first thing I saw was Randall Cunningham breaking out.
Oh,
so
there you go.
A little black kid in Arkansas, you seen a black quarterback doing that, hey, had me at day one. So my Eagles fandom, I know this. I didn't went through hell when Jack was telling me he don't think there's no real Eagles fans outside.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, it's easy to be inside the fray and be neck and neck with the people that's ready to fight.
Yes.
It's different when you're fighting on your own and you live in Texas and everybody else is Cowboy fans. So, hey, I took all my stripes. When y'all was mad, when Cowboys are winning, guess what? I was in Cowboy country wearing Eagles gear, getting ridiculed. So, we got two totally different types of fans.
I've got my Randall hat on. The Mitchell and Ness re-released the He's Back scrambling hat. Mm-hmm. That you remember, I don't know if you remember that, when Randall got hurt, first he had a hat that said, "I'll be back scrambling," and then there was the He's Back scrambling. So he...
Marketing. Oh, I remember.
Yes, yeah. So CJ, Hurts, what you got?
So it's funny to me because I heard one of the things they've started to do is say that you start asking them the question, well, where do you rank first?
Yes.
And some of the people will say, you have one guy said five, other guys said a bottom of the team. But then at the same time, saying stuff like, well, you can't compare him to these guys who've been 7 years. It's like, why not? Y'all do.
Right.
And so when we say, I'm not against Hurts, but I'm just realistic on what I see. And after hearing Ike over the years, I started to be like, you know what? Why am I beating myself up with expecting Jalen to do something totally different at the quarterback position from what he is? He can do things, but at the same time, we're going to run the ball. He's going to hold on to the ball. These things are going to happen. So it's crazy when I hear fans talk about like, oh, well, no, Jalen is this guy. You put him in the top of the crest of quarterbacks, but then you get mad when people hold him to that standard. It's like, it's crazy. If you got a great offensive line, great running game, two great receivers, some would say a great tight end, why does it look so bad when it's time for you to throw the ball? Why does it not produce more than 200-some yards worth of passing? Even with all the rushing we're doing, it's like the run, the play, you know, so the play action should be there all the time. So it's like, why does it look so bad? But also, Spike, I'm going to throw you on the bus with this one, too. Because if you're saying – you're rating Jalen like you're going to be on him based on what's going to happen in the playoffs. What about Nick? Because he's been right there with Jalen. To me,
that's a good point.
They're tied at the ankles. They're neck and neck.
It's a good point, and I think the question will be if they fail in the playoffs. And when I say fail, I know we all have different expectations of what success is. If they get to the NFC Championship game, I don't think anybody's saying anybody failed, right? But if they don't get to the NFC...
No, they're going to say they failed.
Well, I think...
They're going to say they failed.
Right, but I don't think the Eagles organization will treat that as this guy's got to go or that guy's got to go. I think what I'm saying is, to your point...
The reason why I'm going to say it's a failure, Look at San Francisco.
No, no, no. I agree. I agree from that. But CJ, I agree from that standpoint. Just let me finish my point. I think if they don't get there, if it's a true failure, they lose to Green Bay, they lose to Tampa, they lose at home to Minnesota, one of those games, that they don't get past the divisional round, the organization is going to have to look and say, why didn't we? And they could come to the conclusion that both Nick and Jalen aren't good enough. They could come to the conclusion that Jalen isn't good enough, and that has prevented Nick from winning, or they could come to the conclusion that it is Nick's fault and not Jalen. Jalen's fault, right? I think based on what he is able to control at this point, that Nick has done a good job. Now, if he gets ousted in the first round, that is tough. I would look to see how he got ousted. The same thing with Jalen. If Jalen has a great game on Sunday and the defense craps the bed and it is what it is, like, I don't know. But I think the organization will look at both of them the way that you're saying that they should. So I do think Nick has had an incredible amount of talent and definitely should win. The difference is I'm not going to be able to look at the game and say, it's going to be very hard for me to look at the game and say Nick did a good job or Nick did a bad job. Do you know what I mean? Unless he does a bad job. A head coach like him. What's that?
It is that thing where it's like, as much as you can say, well, hey, Jalen's the weak portion of this team because everything else is solidified, it's also the thing where people look and say, okay, like right now, we're talking about our OC finna getting ready to leave and then possibly Jalen having another OC, right?
Right.
We're supposed to have a head coach that's an offensive guy. So it's like year after year, if this offense looks great and we're always going to be having hiccups because we got a new OC and Jalen has to learn all this thing again, it's like, why? When you have an offensive guy as a head coach. Like,
I think that's fair, but they've also decided that he's not the offensive guy here. That's not his job here anymore. I suppose that's a help. Look, I think he will be held accountable. I think the different part is it's a lot easier to judge a head coach with a lot of information, judge the entire season than a game. If he's not game planning the offense, if he's not game planning the defense, if they, as long as they don't show up flat, or he doesn't make some ridiculous moronic decision, or to get in a fight with a fan in the stands, CJ, I'm not saying he's not accountable for it. I'm saying it's very hard for me to say Nick didn't do a good job yesterday, on Monday if they lose. Do you see what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying.
CJ.
And so, Ike.
Yes, sir.
I know you got the people saying, like, hey, for the hairdo, you took my guy. You took Snoop.
Okay.
You know
bad,
what I'm saying? I
bad.
Wanted to bring somebody. So, because it is only so few people that are going to get named that kind of got the same type of hair we got. So, I'm going to say this one, because there's one I'm not going to name that you guys will probably catch on to. He has great hair that we hate the team. He used to be the head coach. I'm not going to say that guy because it just don't have it in me. But I'm going to say Jalen Rose. Because forever he held on to his hairline, and that hairline was perfect, and it was not sprayed on. So it's like, that's big. And the other one is Halle Berry, because, hey, in the 90s when she was in the
movie. Oh, that short hair, like, man.
Yeah. Saw nothing like it, baby.
You sure,
man,
Jalen
that's how
Rose?
My wife got me. My wife used to try the little Halle Berry look. That's how she got me at school, man. That's what I saw. I saw that.
Hey,
I saw that. I saw that look.
When they had that little bob on.
Yeah,
little
yeah.
Bob on,
that's how Renee
know?
Got me. Yeah.
The only thing that's bad about that is when they try to grow it back, and it's like, ooh, wait, what's going on?
Oh, my
but
God.
Well, since it is for Elvis, I almost went with synthetic hair because, you know, he copied everything that was black back in the day.
He
so
did.
Say,
he did. He did.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, but.
Well, he did,
hey,
he did grow up.
Year. I love listening to y'all.
All right. Thank you, CJ.
All right, CJ.
The thing about Elvis grew up in, like, around black people. I mean, uh-huh. it wasn't. The Elvis thing has been beaten to death. I think there's a difference between stealing something and being influenced by it. To me,
that's another way of saying stealing
something. Well, but he was in. He didn't like read about it in a book and say
right.
He was in that culture.
He was in the culture.
It was part of what he was. Now, are we sure Jalen Rose was not painting his
hairline
on?
Yeah, I don't know about
on?
That, CJ. Yeah.
Yeah.
The book is still out. Yeah.
Look very boozer to me.
Yeah. He might be the worst with the whole painting on her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jalen Rose, Steve Harvey before he had to let it go.
Yeah.
Like, he had the man unit on top of his head.
LeBron.
LeBron. LeBron finally had to let it go, or has he let it go?
No, I think he's still painting.
Is he still painting?
Yeah.
Well, remember, he used to do the headband to try to hide the forehead. I mean, the hairline.
So, before we go, we have to play this. Oh, speaking of hair,
makes me think of somebody else I could have threw in there.
Well, you can do a drop. At
well,
the
Stephen
end.
A.
Oh yes, Stephen A's painting it. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if he's painted. I just know it's starting to disappear.
Oh, yeah. It's going back further and further. He's got a six head at this point. He's past five. Yeah.
Yes.
So Freddie Mitchell was on the WIP Morning Show today.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Fred X.
Mm-hmm.
And this little nugget happened, which I don't think anybody expected. Go ahead, Buzz.
If you wasn't having a good day or if you needed to pick up whatever else, you would go to two players. You would go to Richie, and then you would go to Sean Landetta, you know, and them guys were just, you know, it's just someone.
Sean Landetta. Me and Sean sitting in the sauna. Me and Sean Landetta.
Classic pair.
Out.
Yeah.
Landetta shaving his in the sauna, you know.
Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah. Maybe rein it in a bit with that, Freddie.
That's Freddie.
That did not make the air, just so everyone knows.
So
why not? Now, come on, that's Sean.
So,
the best part is him asking why not.
Yes.
The end.
So
like, why'd you dump that?
Sean Landetta grooming himself in the sauna.
Yeah.
That is bold.
That's one way to put it.
Yeah.
I call it nasty, but that's
also,
just me.
Also nasty. I mean, look, there's nothing wrong with grooming, but grooming with your teammates, that part in the sauna.
Yeah. Well let me just say this.
Yeah.
Freddie didn't exaggerate.
It was happening.
Yes, it happened, and you know we played. Sean played maybe 4 or 5 years he was here, because then he left and he came back, I believe.
Buzz, if I text you Sean Landetta's number, will you see if he'll come on?
I don't know. Would he admit this?
Well,
it was not uncommon to walk in the bathroom. And there's Sean. Yeah.
See Sean grooming.
Yeah. And fellas would be like, yeah, he's in there again. He's at it again.
That's a lot of grooming.
It's unbelievable, man.
Sean Landetta wants to look like a little kid.
So now, I already told one story I regretted telling today.
But,
so with Sean, the greatest thing about Sean is he had the best stories. That's why Richie is like, sitting in the sauna. Because you could sit in there and Sean would be telling you stories from the 80s when he played with the Giants, LT and all that. Landetta goes back.
He does.
Hell, Landetta goes back to playing for the Philadelphia Stars.
He did.
Yeah, and the
he was a single
USFL
bar punter,
I think.
Yeah.
So he would have some of the best LT stories and stuff that happened when he was with the Giants and crazy parties he attended during that time. And you'd just be sitting there listening to him, man. Because some guys have that ability to tell a great story. They know how to give you the right details and all that type of stuff. Sean was a great storyteller.
Great
man.
Storyteller.
Yeah.
And well-groomed.
Yeah.
Well-groomed.
Made sure he was groomed.
All right. So we're going to see if we can get confirmed here. Buzz is going to give the top five most groomed people at Sports Radio WIP. And it's top five of five, right?
We're not sponsored. Are we endorsing Manscaped?
Well, we're not.
Not yet.
No. Well, I mean, anybody at the station?
I don't know.
Well, okay. Well, I didn't want to say. I don't want to say
that. That might be Johnson's next read.
You're not going to say anything bad about him, are you?
Well, I might.
I wouldn't do it, though.
Okay, then. Yeah. No,
I remember Joe doing the commercials for the lawnmower.
And that's when, I'm just saying, that was a bad product.
Oh, it didn't.
Or it did not work.
It did not work for you.
No, it was a one-time thing. And
it wouldn't get the Landetta stamp of approval?
No, I'm just saying. Everybody's hair doesn't grow the same.
Oh.
So.
Maybe for you?
Yes, that was not a good experience for me.
Not endorsed by the delegation?
Oh, man.
Please get us to break.
Okay. Top 5 of 5 is next. It's a WIP Afternoon Show with Ike Spike and Fritz. Man, you've revealed a lot today.
I know, man. I don't know what the hell's going on today, man. Put something in the water or something.